Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Is this going to be an injection where I can reverse aging in myself? Can I control how far back I'll go? This on? Hello?
We're all science people.
Science!
Exactly.
We know it's a good idea because it's lasted.
We can teach kids and they get it.
There's chemistry in here. There's biology in here.
It's in whiskey. It's in ice cream. It's in who you fall in love with.
That's the recipe for success.
We can make the world better for everybody.
Starting now.
Welcome to Science Rules. I'm your host, Bill Nye. This is the show where science rules. It's a call-in show, and if you want to be on the show, and I hope you do, keep up with me on the electric internet to find out when to call. And as always, you can also send us your questions and comments at askbillnye.com. And I am joined, of course, also by science writer, editor, and dear friend, Corey S. Powell. Greetings, Corey.
Hello, Bill. It's great to be here. I don't know about you, but I don't want to die. I don't even want to grow old. Bill, can you help me? Can you find somebody who can help me?
Oh, sure. Sure. Because joining us today is a biologist and a pioneer in the science of aging, Dr. Michael West, founder of several biotech companies, including Geron and Advanced Cell Technology. He's now the founder and CEO of AgeX Therapeutics. And he's working to keep us all from getting old, Corey.
All right.
Dr.
Okay.
West,
I'm feeling better already.
Welcome, welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for taking the time. Now, what we all want to, I mean, nobody wants to die, right?
Why not?
Well, that's a whole other question, but that's more philosophical.
There's certain people I wouldn't mind. Am I right? So with that said, you had a profound experience when your father died.
Oh, yeah.
Had a heart attack.
You know, you guys love science. I think a lot of the listeners of your show probably do. I grew up believing, not only just loving science, but I recognized profoundly the power of science to solve seemingly unsolved problems. And when I saw the loss of my own father, I thought, you know, this is a problem we've got to solve. Yeah. You know, and I thought we could approach it scientifically.
But you grew up with the very optimistic time of the landings on the moon and so on.
Sputnik,
yeah.
57.
Yeah. October 4th, 1957.
Good memory.
Yeah. Well, that's a space thing. So, yeah. But with that said, you had this intense optimism, and you had a science lab as a kid.
Yeah.
And
you must have read my book.
Yeah, I did. Is that okay?
That's okay.
And I read, you know, and then, but you embraced science. You had a religious period.
Yeah. I did. Yeah. I went through phases. You know, we all do, right? No, but for me, it was a logical thing. So I started out as a scientist, but then I was, you know, some of my friends, just remember back in the early 70s, the Jesus movement. It was an evangelical
around.
Wave. No, but it was a phenomenon, really, in the United States. And
right.
All my friends were, you know, toting Bibles around, and I was really interested in religion and
Jesus Christ Superstar, for example.
Yeah, that same
was
era.
Very popular.
And,
right,
and,
exactly.
And where were you living at the time?
Michigan, the
okay.
Midwest, right
mm-hmm.
in the upper part of the Bible Belt. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah. So I thought that if there was, a supernatural origin of life, that it should show up somewhere, in the fossil record, you know, somewhere in the history of life on Earth. So I really got into studying the Bible in Hebrew and Greek, and then paleontology. My master's degree was in paleobiology. And boy, I just came up bankrupt in that regard. I saw no evidence of, there's nothing there. There's no good, there's no good evidence for certainly creation, but for any evidence of supernatural intervention. And, you know, evolution is just rock solid true.
I mean, was that a crisis for you?
Yes. Yeah.
What did that feel like?
So imagine a vase with nothing in it, okay? And then you take the vase away. You see the shape of the emptiness. And I thought, wow, you know, I just lost the person one of the people I held most dear in this world.
Your dad?
My dad. And I said, and you know, none of these stories, like I believed, you know, the whole Christian story was true. I felt that when you die, you die. And the sense of that loss and that emptiness is really what drove me to say, you know, not only is the biology of aging, which is killing everybody, an interesting scientific problem, but it's really fundamental to the human condition. It's probably the greatest calling science and medicine could ever be drawn to, in my opinion.
Yeah. So that's why, and since it was the greatest ever, you thought, let's go for that.
I'd like challenges. You know, we all
so,
do.
But a fundamental idea, I mean, in well, you talk about the fossil record. Hmm. Something that seems to be built in is senescence or aging.
It's
death.
A history of death.
Right. Everything
the fossil
dies.
Record is, they're all dead animals.
So with this said, I have always wondered, this a thing you do when you're a mean-spirited kid, I would never do it. But my sort of distant cousin Lee.
You heard about somebody who did.
Would take the claw off a crab in the Chesapeake Bay, and the crab would grow a new claw.
Yeah.
Like, what in, wow.
Yeah.
I hope I could, if I ever need to, I hope I could do that.
Right.
So isn't this part of your big story? If you can regenerate this, why not regenerate everything?
Yeah. You have to start somewhere. So where do you begin trying to understand something that most scientists said was an unsolvable problem?
Well, just intuitively, look, everything that lives dies.
Right. Yeah. And what a lot of scientists, and even some of my colleagues have always said is, there's a fundamental principle in science, and that's the second law of thermodynamics,
It sucks.
So everything falls apart, basically.
Yes, it just sucks. Everything
we're all
spreads
running
out.
Down.
We're all running down. It's a rule of nature. It's a law of science, right?
Arrow of time goes one way.
Okay.
We're all time travelers going one way.
But that's wrong in the case of science, in the case of life. So it's not wrong.
I get you. Go for it.
We don't get into the second law, but we are made of cells. Right? These little things you see in the microscope swirling around in pond water, we're made of trillions of those that are all kind of glued together to make the body. And we're made from a lineage of those. We all know the birds and the bees, right? We were made from a sperm and egg cell and from our parents. And then the sperm and egg cell that made our parents goes, that lineage of cells, if you connected the dots, so to speak, goes back for billions of years. So we're made of a lineage of cells that have never died for billions of years. Well, what about the second law?
Yeah, what about that, Corey Powell?
Dr. West, what about that?
A key, you would say, is there's been energy coming in from the sun all this time.
Yeah, so.
And the primordial heat of the earth and
so
there we go.
One scientist put it this way. He said, you know, reversing aging is like unscrambling an egg, right? And then another scientist countered that I think it was in Science or Nature, and says, oh, there is a way to unscramble an egg. Let the hen eat the egg, right?
I like that.
Right.
It's a little cannibalistic. Well, okay. I'm with you.
So the point is, biology has found a way of perpetuating life indefinitely, because that's what life is. Babies make young babies. Make adults and make more young babies and so on. We're proliferating for billions of years. How do they do that when all of the cells in our body that make up our loved ones, like you talked about my father, you know, his blood, his bone, his skin cells, all have had a clock of aging built into them? And some people, that clock gets set wrong. You've seen these children with progeria that grow old when they're 12.
Well, you've talked about it. It's creepy.
Yeah. So there's something.
But with that said, even when I'm living my life running around, my blood cells die every couple days, right?
Yeah.
That's part of the deal.
Yeah. But what we're talking about is a clock of aging that is built into the DNA of cells. It's in a little region we call the telomere. And sort of like a burning fuse can be a clocking mechanism. And the cells in our body, we call them somatic cells, all pretty much all have that clock ticking away.
So a somatic cell is a body cell, not a sex cell.
That's right.
That's
the first fundamental distinction. And so what I was interested in, so I got to start somewhere. Why is it that these germline lineage of cells are immortal, we say, that meaning they don't age, whereas all the cells in our body are mortal? So I did kind of a high-risk thing. You mentioned this company, Geron, years ago. I was in the midst of my medical training, and I decided to start a biotech company on a gamble. And the gamble was we could find the gene that makes cells immortal. And
so what's an example of an immortal cell?
Well, of course, the sperm and egg cells can perpetuate the species forever, so are riding that immortal lineage. The most well-known, in fact, the only normal immortal cell ever identified is the human embryonic stem cell.
Let me pause you for a second. What is the difference between a stem cell and a germ cell? You're sort of using these terms kind of interchangeably.
Yeah. Well, it's just imagine in your mind the branches of a tree. So a cell that can branch, you know, into other twigs is a stem cell. And
so it's stem in the sense that it's down at the base of the tree.
It's capable of becoming more than one cell.
Yes.
So anyway, yeah. So if you go all the way back in that tree, these are cells that are capable of making more sperm and egg or any cell in the body. And so they have this immortality gene turned on, so they think, oh, we might need to make humans
so
forever.
So this is after an egg cell is fused, sperm is fertilized.
Yeah, So using all of that, those clues, kind of like, I don't know, Sherlock Holmes following a trail of clues, it eventually led us to understand the fundamental clocking mechanisms of aging. And now you may have heard, I mean, it's kind of in the news, it's breaking really as we speak. Scientists now believe that all of this aging that we used to think of as inevitable wear and tear is actually reversible. But we know enough about aging now, we could potentially not just understand it, but intervene in it and reverse the aging of cells. We know we can reverse the aging of cells in the laboratory dish, but what's sort of the breaking news right now is labs around the world are starting to implement this in animals, and they see evidence of the reversal of aging in an animal itself.
So an animal's getting younger, like Benjamin Button or somebody.
Yeah.
Science Rules will be right back.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You're listening to Science Rules.
Bill, you know who I think could help us asking these questions? A caller?
A caller?
I think a caller could help us asking these questions.
A caller from the outside thinking deep thoughts?
Yes,
as a matter of fact. Could take it up a notch? So, wow, caller out there.
I believe we have Ben on the line. And Ben, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Vermont.
So what's your question?
So my question is about more like the ethical issues about the use of these stem cells.
So this is an old question. Now, years ago, I did some stories on this. And the best stem cell, the best cell that's plentipotent, that can do
pluripotent,
can do any job, is the newly fertilized or fused egg, right? Which divides into 16 eggs before you can tell anything.
Cells, yeah.
Right. And so there was the ethical question, which I believe Ben is driving at, is it ethical to take a newly fertilized human cell and do something with it? Or is there another source of stem cells that's less controversial?
There are.
Dr. West.
Now there's, I think, entirely non-controversial sources of essentially the same cell type. They're called induced pluripotent stem cells. So what we can do, using the same age reversal technology I just described, we can take a cell from like a 120-year-old person. In fact, that 110-year-old person has been already done. A skin cell, let's say, and take it back in time using this technology to these same cells that can make all the cells of the human body and could even make a young baby, a clone.
Not only do you not need to use a fertilized egg,
right?
It doesn't matter how old you are. You can still run the clock backward.
It's all reversible.
So you say this technology. Yeah. What is that, Ben? What is this technology, doctor? What is this?
Instead of using an embryo, instead of using cloning, now we can do all this with just molecules. So we don't need an egg cell, we don't need an embryo, but we can transport a cell back in time just because we found the molecules within the egg cell that are like the key that rewinds the clock.
And it changes the DNA, or what do the molecules do that makes a cell young again?
Basically what they are is transcription factors. They're little protein. They make little proteins that find locations in the DNA and turn on the switch.
All right. So Ben's asking, Ben, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're asking, what's the current state of stem cell research, right?
Yeah.
All right. So,
yeah, exactly.
So then, doctor, you were born, I think, in the 20th century.
Yeah.
And with respect.
Make that sound so long ago.
Yeah. With respect, you
we're
look
back
like,
in the 20th
you
century.
You look like it. So is this going to be an injection where I can reverse aging in myself? Can I control how far back I'll go?
Yeah. So, you know, lots of unanswered questions there. Dosage, numbers of treatments, and so on.
What, do you inject it into your bloodstream? What do you?
I'll speculate and say that given that most of this work is being done in biotech companies with FDA, you know, plans for FDA oversight, trials, and so on, I imagine that the way this is going to work is we're going to target initially one tissue in the body, you know, like the heart. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned regeneration. The exciting thing about this is we think we can reverse aging back to the point where tissues can regenerate, something we had when we were very young. Mm-hmm. The first week, Bill, after you were born, if you had a heart attack, your heart would just regrow. No scarring, it just regrows. After about a week, that ability gets turned off.
Hey, Ben, this is a great call, man.
Thanks.
Thank you for taking the time. You started us down an amazing road of amazingness. Do you feel like he gave you some, Dr. West gave you some answers?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Thanks, Ben.
Let's take another call. Lorraine, are you out there?
Hi.
Where are you calling from?
I am calling from Vancouver, BC, in Canada.
Yeah, it's glorious and free.
Yes, it is.
So you have a question.
I do. With the importance of stem cells, especially with, I guess you could say, when children are born and everything like that in the umbilical cord, why is it that it's not as common knowledge and widely spread to especially new parents? I didn't find out about the importance of it until close to when my kids were born. And then I was being asked if I wanted to store their stem cells to be charged for it.
So you're talking about storing stem cells from the placenta. Is that
from cord blood cells? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Are you also wondering why it costs money to store them?
Well, it's more if it's so needed, especially to help, because it can help with cancer and everything like that. If it's so needed, why is there not as much knowledge for it? And why is it being requested to be stored at a cost to people? right?
Okay, so stand by. So, Dr. West, how do you feel about placental stem cells?
Well, you want the straight scoop?
No, make some. No, yes, of course. That's why you're here.
How about
that's
some straight scoop?
Okay. Lorraine, here you go.
Okay.
So I'm not necessarily speaking about every group out there offering this or that stem cell, but I think if you search the internet, you know, look at FDA and adult stem cell clinics, you'll see that...
this is United States Federal Food and Drug Administration. Yeah. She's in Canada, but there's an analog.
Right. Well, anyway, so you'll see is there's sort of an unfortunate thing that's occurred here. So all the notoriety about... stem cells really began in 2001 when President Bush gave his first national address on the human embryonic stem cell. And what happened was people made this connection with aging. So a whole cottage industry rose up of groups saying, hey, you know, you heard of stem cells? Well, we've got stem cells. Well, I said, what is a stem cell? The cell that can branch into more than one cell type. Well, there's cells in the cord, the umbilical cord of a baby, that are blood stem cells. They can branch out to make the different types of blood cells. But what these groups say is, we heard of stem cells. They don't distinguish between these all-powerful stem cells and the blood-forming stem cells. And there's ways that people found to work around FDA and say, hey, you can have stem cells now. And we take Visa and MasterCard. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of, you know, people trying to make money off this industry without, you know, making the regenerative therapies that many of us envision to, you know, repair the problems of Parkinson's disease and heart failure that are real therapeutics that require FDA approval.
Let me ask you this. You're talking about doctors. So, and Lorraine, I think this is, as we say, to your point. Let's say that she has kept her baby's blood stem cells preserved somehow carefully.
Right.
And then my old professor, Carl Sagan, died of a blood cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be possible then, if the blood is the problem in this cancer, type of cancer, would it be possible to have preserved his or somebody's blood cell, stem blood cell, and then replace or improve the blood.
Yeah. Now, that's more of a absolutely, you know, legitimate use of blood stem cells.
It's not as crazy as it might sound.
Right. I mean, there is blood stem cells are real. Many of you may have had friends that had bone marrow transplants or blood transfusions, you know. I mean, there's real medicine there, but... there's also, of course, the ever-present person who try to say these cells could cure Parkinson's disease or whatever without any clinical evidence-based medicine.
Okay, speaking of Parkinson's disease, Lorraine, thank you, by the way. That's a great call,
thank
and we
you.
Got to expose, potentially expose, some potential pseudoscience, which is always good to be exposed, in my opinion,
perfect.
Because critical thinking is the key to our future.
Awesome, thank you.
Thank you, Lorraine. Thank you. So, Dr. West, you talked about Parkinson's disease. Is my understanding that nerve cells and brain cells only reproduce in a very limited fashion, seldom, now and then? Then what's everybody afraid of now is Alzheimer's, is loss of brain function, and there's drugs being marketed to improve your memory and so on. Would it be possible, since you're targeting, let's say we're targeting heart cells that... we hope to regenerate those with some stem cells.
Yep.
Would it be possible to regenerate or brain cells or find the brain cells that aren't working so well and replace them or regenerate them with new stem cell-induced brains?
Yeah, you know, one of the early advocates of, we say stem cells, but it was really embryonic stem cells, was Nancy Reagan, you may remember.
Mm-hmm.
So...
because her husband had dementia.
Yeah, Ronald Reagan had Alzheimer's disease. And
was it strictly Alzheimer's or was it another form of dementia?
I don't know. I assumed it was just classic Alzheimer's. Michael J. Fox was in Mary Tyler Moore. Fox in, for Parkinson's, Mary Tyler Moore for diabetes. But when Nancy Reagan advocated embryonic stem cells, saying, you know, someday it may help people that, like my husband— people in the scientific community were a little nervous because that was the one thing we couldn't think of how to use stem cells for.
I mean, how to get so, in, how to get into the brain.
Could have been, you know, heart failure, kidney failure, liver failure, Parkinson's, arthritis, many of these we thought.
Conventional,
you know,
plumbing.
It's, yeah, replacing. It's kind of like an old car where you put on a new tire in an antique car. We could imagine putting young cells into various tissues to solve a lot of problems. Alzheimer's back then, we didn't quite know how to approach that with a stem cell-based approach. I would say that's changing, though. Now, we're with the evolving understanding of Alzheimer's disease, which has taken quite a while to understand, we're beginning to see that there may be some stem cell-based applications for Alzheimer's.
Well, this is a great question, because if you, even if you have regenerative medicine that can keep the body young, are we making progress in figuring out how to keep the brain young?
Yeah, so Bill mentioned that tied up in all this biology is that we lose the ability to regenerate that these simple organisms have. We had it when we were very young, but then we turn it all off. So
not on purpose.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. Was it Aristotle? No, it's Francis Bacon that mentioned years ago. He made the observation that what you cut yourself, you have a wound when you're young, it heals very quickly.
Yeah.
As you get older, it heals slowly. And he thought that was telling us something. And that's this loss of regeneration we see with age. So being able to turn that regeneration back on may be an important component in all
so,
this.
But here, fundamental, while we're talking about Francis Bacon and his observation of the fast healing cut, or my nephew broke his arm and it healed much more quickly than it would in my case. Hmm. This is where the kid is growing. So
yeah.
that person is adding a bunch of cells every day. It's
yeah.
crazy. That's why you got to take naps. You're just adding cells like
yeah.
nuts.
Yeah.
So when you're adding cells, it seemed intuitively like easier to repair
yeah.
a skin wound, for
yeah.
example.
Yeah.
Stick around for more Science Rules after this.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Science Rules is back.
What the current consensus is that aging is an anti-cancer mechanism. So if cells have a finite lifespan built into them, it allows us to live long enough to reproduce. So it's a selfish gene idea, right? So it allows us to reproduce, get our babies grown up, but then the cells run out of replicative lifespan. And so if you start getting a cancer, the cancer will run out of the ability to replicate and stop.
Mm-hmm.
But unless it turns on this immortalizing gene, telomerase, in which case then the cancer is, you know, you can hit it with chemotherapy, you can hit it with surgery, radiation, and if there's one cell left behind, it'll grow back because the cells no longer age. So the current view in the gerontology community is that we age. You know, we're not making judgments on the worldview of many that, you know, it's because of the misdeeds of someone in the past that we all age and die. But we're saying that biologically we age because it's nature's way of helping prevent cancer. And that in evolution, nature didn't care what happens after
that's
we
the thing. That's the thing about evolution.
See, I know, it just sucks.
It doesn't. You only have to be good enough.
Yeah.
You don't have to be extraordinary. Yeah.
Right. We're not evolving toward perfection, which a lot of people have this idea in their
heads. So in other words, if we didn't and by the way, do you consider yourselves in alignment with the community of gerontologists?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, okay. Of aging study people. So
yeah.
Along this line, the argument is, as I understand it, if organisms like us didn't have the built-in clock wear out and die feature,
yeah.
we'd all get cancer and never function and couldn't reproduce
yeah, mice have
kids.
Loose expression of this gene, and they get cancer typically in a couple years and die. Yeah.
Mice do?
Yeah.
A loose expression.
Yeah, so telomerase can be turned on pretty easily in a mouse.
Now, telomerase, that sounds like an enzyme.
What it is. So telomerase...
When it ends in an ASE.
...makes the telomere. So it's...
What's a telomere?
Telomere is like a... It's like a you mentioned earlier, it's like a cap on your DNA?
Yeah,
or?
So it's we always say it's like the caps on the end of your shoelaces. It's the DNA is strands, right? Mm-hmm. It's like threads, and they have ends, and they shorten like a burning fuse or a... a candle burning on both ends, I guess. And telomerase recreates that end. It's like a key that winds an old antique clock. And so if telomerase is present, cells don't age.
And it keeps kind of like rebuilding that cap.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was a fun
experiment.
Where
do I go get some telomerase?
Yeah, so
from telomerase co.
So there's all these
telomerase.com.
We were just doing research on telomeres, hadn't yet cloned the gene. It was actually my wife that cloned the gene. That's how I met her at Geron years ago. And we were just doing the basic research, and already a major, I won't name, cosmetics company said, "Come get your telomere cream." You know?
Mm-hmm. Oh boy.
Right. So there's a lot of misinformation out there, but. There are groups, including my own company, working on therapeutics to utilize this immortalizing gene, not necessarily with the goal of making people immortal, although I don't have a problem with that, but more with the goal of extending health span and reversing different diseases of aging.
Wow.
If we reverse aging, at what age do we bring a person to? Like, how far back do you reverse it?
Do you have to go, if the baby is regenerating his or her heart when she's 1 week old, that's a ways back. I would forget a lot of stuff.
Right. I'm not sure I'd want to reverse back to the first week.
I didn't see this movie, Benjamin Button, but that's what it was about, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
The guys that made that movie came and interviewed me and brought me into this motel room, which I thought was really odd, and put a chair and a camera in front of me and
that's
a light.
Yeah, that's very traditional.
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know people did that. Anyway, then they asked me that same question. I didn't know why at the time. So it wouldn't make any sense to try to reverse the developmental processes of aging to make you a baby again. In fact, I don't think that's how it would work. What would happen is we'd reverse aging almost certainly back to a state of young,
adolescence,
a young adulthood, mid-20s or something, which would be quite ideal.
God, you could play the outfield your whole life.
You know, the thing is... in the history of science and discovery, many times what we think will be the future never comes about. When I grew up, remember the Jetsons?
Yeah, flying car.
We still don't have these robots doing the dishes in the house and all this sort of thing,
but
right?
Dishwashers work so much better than
Rosie
they
the
used
Robot.
To.
We're still centuries away. Nobody knows how far away we are, but we're nowhere close.
But then things that we think would not happen. Like I notice a lot of science fiction, Star Trek is in the year 2300.
What else does your communicator do?
Yeah.
How many apps on your communicator?
Teletransportation, right, and all this. But they're still growing old, And that's where I think it's an interesting phenomenon that we're really poor at predicting the future. And I think one of the biggest surprises that society is going to have to adjust to is that we're really going to be able to profoundly intervene in aging, something that no one saw coming. And the impact on our society, I mean, that's a big one.
Would be big.
So you were describing, let's say, a targeted regeneration, like you want to regenerate heart tissue, for instance, you mentioned.
That's where I'll begin.
Right. So once you have that therapy, then is your heart endlessly self-regenerating, do you need repeat therapies?
Well, we plan to induce this regenerative state and reverse aging transiently because I'm worried about cancer.
Okay.
If indeed what do you cancer, mean by transiently?
So it's like if you're rewinding an old antique clock with this key, and this key is these new drugs that would accomplish this. You don't want to overwind the clock.
Oh, no.
Because that would cause cancer. So you rewind the clock and then you stop winding, So you transiently, temporarily turn the clock back and then you take away these agents.
All right. So I'd like to talk again briefly about me.
Okay.
So I was on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, wow.
All right. Things were going very well, sort of-ish. Tore my quadriceps tendon. Fell right almost on my face.
Oh,
down.
Sorry.
Done. International television. I'm done. Go to the sports medicine guy.
Uh-huh.
And he says, we can try this. A lot of athletes are doing this. It seems to work. You would be one more datum on the great collection of data here at the Sports Medicine Clinic. They extracted some blood, spun it down to get platelets, re-injected the platelets with care. The guy had an ultrasound looking at the specific place on my quadricep tendon, which is above my knee, our knees, squirted it in there, and I didn't need surgery. I recovered okay. It took really more than 2 years for the scar tissue to noticeably disappear where you couldn't notice it, rather. Yeah. Is that related or nothing to do with it, where you introduce a concentration of healing of cells that do repair?
Yeah. So it's sending signals to the injured tendons or muscles in your body that you ought to regenerate. The problem is the body has largely lost that ability. It's not an all or none thing, actually.
It's a spectrum, as we like to say.
Right. So that platelet-rich plasma, or whatever the approach they used there, was an attempt to tell the body to regenerate. The problem is the body's, turned that off. And so the data out there, as far as I know, is, kind of equivocal.
He's a scientist. The doctor is like, this seems to work. Since it costs almost nothing, we'll just do it. It took the guy 10 minutes.
Yeah. It's an easy procedure.
Well, so Dr. West, we're asking you to predict the future, not the far future, but the future that you're trying to make happen as the next thing. So how do we get there?
Is there something about these platelets? No, seriously, that just being near to them. So if you had this injury in your heart, you had a heart attack.
Yeah.
How would you put the telomerase or whatever the heck it is in there? Would it be injecting it with an ultrasound, watching where the needle goes, or some other...
So where it seems to be going is that where we kind of began this detective story, which is that there's some cells in human biology, not animal biology, not crabs, not lobsters, human biology, that allows cells to escape aging, right? And to regenerate the human species forever. We call it the germline. And using modern DNA technologies, we've been able to, faster than anyone would have imagined, really, learn the secrets of the immortality of the germline, and we're translating that into the body. And so we're using actually the genes and the pathways that allow life to perpetuate itself, demonstrably for billions of years. It's a really powerful technology.
But another thing about evolution, another thing about evolution is change is built in.
Yeah.
So if you're doing this, aren't you freezing it? This gets into the question of cloning.
And we're kind of freezing it anyway, right? I mean, so... if, you're born with a birth defect or whatever, medicine's intervening, and normally those children would have died early and not reproduced. So we've kind of frozen evolution.
But we're creating different selection pressures.
That's right.
I mean, there's no way to stop it, but we're changing the inputs.
The heck with evolution. So the guy brought us here. Here we are.
Hey, watch your language. This is a family show.
So, I know, so...
it's not really a family
show.
Don't
you think? Okay. what do we really want out of our lives and the world? Do we want a world where, this aimless process of evolution is directing our future as humanity? Or do we want to say our love and compassion for our fellow human being and making lives better for people we care for is our guiding principle, not this random selective pressure of evolution? And I think that's what's going to make humanity great, is applying science and technology for the benefit and welfare of our loved ones. I think that's our guiding light. It should
that is profound.
Well,
as you know, that's great.
That's either the sound of profundity or it's time for the lightning round. It's time for the lightning round.
The sound of thunder.
This is where we ask you quick questions and you give quick answers.
Okay, I'll try.
What part of your body would you want to repair?
I guess my brain.
Your brain.
Sure.
How soon will I be able to visit my doctor and get regenerated? 10 years? 5 years? 100 years?
Depends on how many scientists. We could have gone to the moon. You said you worked with Carl Sagan. We could have gone to the moon, but with a handful of people and engineers, we still wouldn't have been there. So I can't predict.
Would you want to live forever?
You know, I don't think about that, and that sounds stupid. I want my loved ones to live forever. That's why I do what I do myself. But I guess what's the alternative, right?
1,000 years?
You have a better idea?
You get 1,000 years, 200 years, you know, just an extra 10 years.
You said short answers, but I don't buy this idea that we'll all get bored if we extend our lifespans.
Life is amazing.
I can't imagine.
I think we do agree what we want is a high quality of life.
Of course. Yeah. Right. Oh, but that's a good point, by the way. Everyone thinks we're talking about making people live longer in a more decrepit state, and that is not the goal of modern aging research. It's to extend health span.
I love that word.
So suppose I had a pet dog I love so very much. Is cloning the dead dog a good idea?
Yeah, I've had friends that have cloned their pets. Repet, remember that? An old Schwarzenegger movie. They're quite happy with them, so...
So
I can tell you a story. You want to hear a story about
it? Sure.
There was a family in Texas, I won't name the name, who had an animal called Chance. It was a Brahma bull, I think. Mm-hmm. It was a pet animal, really.
Okay.
A pet bull.
And it died. And then they learned about cloning. And then they said, hey, you know what? There was a skin sample taken from this animal, from our pet. And they gave it to a local cloning lab. And they cloned... Now, this sounds like a joke. It's not.
No, they
cloned him and they called him Second Chance. I'm not kidding you.
Why not?
Look it up on the internet. And the professor brought the animal to their farm and they opened the gate. And all of a sudden, the family, they're all just crying. And he says, well, you know what? What? And they said, you wouldn't know this, but there was a little hill in the backyard where Chance always sit and sun. And Second Chance went right for that same hill and sat down in the same exact spot.
And, something deep in Chance's DNA that wanted the sun at just a certain intensity and angle and this like that. Yeah. Now, I have another question, unlightning related, more of a steady drizzle. So Dolly the sheep was cloned, astonishing thing, and her telomeres are somehow shorter, right? Then she's had offspring that are frolicking in the Scottish Hills even now.
More clones.
And they're clones.
Right.
Are their telomeres normal?
I haven't heard. That's a good question.
And why were...
That's why they were cloned, by the way.
See what would happen.
I used to collaborate with Keith Campbell, the guy that cloned Dolly. And I think it was a mistake. The original paper was published...
They didn't observe it properly.
They measured telomeres wrong or something.
Oh, yeah.
Because what we published a paper a year later in Science that showed, at least in cows... cloning reset this clock of aging even further than normal. So the animals were born younger than young, and that's what people generally see today in cloning. So
they seem to have normal lifespans, correct?
They do, yeah.
And so this could, I mean, just in the case of...
And she didn't die from premature aging, we know that.
What did she die of?
I saw the autopsy. She died of an infectious, a virus that causes a type of cancer, and other animals in the same building with her that were not clones got the same... disease.
Oh, poor Dolly.
Yeah, I know.
So finally, in the lightning round, is there anybody... Yeah, thank you, Corey. Is there anybody you'd want to bring back to life?
Oh, the Beatles.
Ah, there you go. All four of them.
Yeah.
I think two of them are still around.
That's true.
Yeah.
With their life
although,
experience.
Although, if you could get a younger version of Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr, that would probably be... I mean, I'm guessing that would be better.
They'd be more energetic.
Yeah, sure.
So thank you so much. Our guest today has been Dr. Michael West, who is working to keep us all from getting old. I'm Bill Nye.
I'm Corey S. Powell.
And remember, when it comes to the regeneration part of our universe,
science rules.
And if you like Science Rules, please take a moment to rate and review it in Apple Podcasts and on Stitcher. It helps us out and helps other people learn about the show. So thank you. And be sure to look at my socials, my social media outlets, for when to call into the show. And I'm at Bill Nye on everything, the Twitter, the Gram, and all that. And meanwhile, if you'd like to leave us a voicemail, give us a call at 201-472-0785. 201-472-0785. And Science Rules is produced by Jordan Bell and Corey S. Powell, shown here, with extra production from our own Lisa Wang. Our engineer today is Casey Halford. Mixing and original theme music also by Casey Halford. And special thanks to Claire Rawlinson and Ashley Warren. Chris Bannon is the CCO. the chief content officer of Stitcher. And at Stitcher, Corey...
What happens?
Science rules.
Ah.
Stitcher.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.